As you find your seats, brethren, turning your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 15, and I'll start with verse 1. Now, you might know that the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. And yet, Mark gives almost one half of the entire book to the final days of our Savior. Chapter 15 describes the events that happened likely on Friday. These are basically two: his trial before the Romans, and then his crucifixion by the Romans. Now let me just, before I read our passage, quickly remind you that the day before, again likely Thursday, our Lord kept the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. He prayed in Gethsemane, was betrayed by Judas, arrested and brought before the Jewish leaders. Now it's the next day, again, likely Friday, and the Jews bring him to Pilate, which, as we're going to see, was an unusual or unlikely joint effort, both by the Jews and Pilate. And as I read verses 1 to 5, you're going to see that there's basically an exchange to Jesus by the Jews and Pilate. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. We find in these verses the silent Savior. Now, it's important to notice that our Savior's silence was specifically concerned with his false accusers. By that I mean he wasn't silent about everything. He wasn't hesitant to answer certain questions. When asked whether he was the Christ, King of the Jews, he answered. Verse 2. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He answered and said, "It is as you say." Verse 3. And the chief priest accused him of many things. See, this is what he refuses to answer. But he answered nothing. You find something very similar if we're in chapter 15, back up to chapter 14 and verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And he said, "I am." See, he was willing to answer certain questions, but he was also unwilling to answer other ones. And the ones that he was unwilling to answer and thus remained silent about were the false accusations. So Jesus remained silent before his accusers. Perhaps we can put it that way. So the question that I want to answer this afternoon is why? Why did our Savior refuse to answer his false accusers? And I want to briefly suggest three. First, it was a silence of innocence. That is, he had no need to defend himself because he knew he was totally and perfectly innocent. He refused to defend himself because he knew that the Father knew that he was innocent and that was sufficient for him. Look over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously." He trusted God who judges righteously. That, of course, is in contrast to the Jews who judged unrighteously. You know, if you think about it, all that Paul is going through in the book of Acts, Jesus went through. The parallels and the similarities are many. So Jesus remained silent in the first place because he knew that he was innocent, and he knew that the Father knew that he was innocent. In fact, there's a sense in which one reason for the resurrection was that it served as a vindication of Christ's character. The resurrection was a vindication of sorts in that it verified or proved publicly that Jesus was who he claimed to be and that he was thusly innocent of the false accusations made against him by the Jews. Why is it that Jesus refused to answer? Why is it repeatedly said here that he remained silent? Well, first of all, because it was the silence of innocence. Secondly, it was the silence of judgment. He refused to answer the Jews because they had filled up the measure of their wickedness. There's a sense in which our Savior previously had spoken to them many times. In fact, if you remember, he at one point said that he openly spoke to them for 3 years in public places. And this is in part why he didn't feel obligated to speak to them now, because they had refused to hear him then. So there's a sense in which he remained silent as a judgment for their unbelief. In fact, if we were to go back and look at the first chapters of Mark especially, we would find him openly speaking and engaging the Jews on a number of topics. For example, he taught them various parables that underscored the imminent destruction of Jerusalem. He warned them repeatedly of their hypocrisy and their unbelief and the judgment that would come. In fact, at one point, he even disallowed his disciples to go to anybody other than the Jews. Now, he had spoke to the Jews. He had warned the Jews. He had engaged the Jews time in and time out. Now, the time for speaking was finished. Brethren, if you think about it, there's fewer things more frightening than when God becomes silent. Thus, we learn there may come a time after God's word has been repeatedly disbelieved and rejected that he speaks no longer. We know that from Romans 1, for example, where he just gives up a society. He sends them the truth. He sends them prophets. He sends them his people. And eventually he just stops sending them prophets. He stops sending them the word. And this is kind of like what Jesus is doing here. His silence renders them all the more guilty, because he had previously already engaged them with respect to a number of topics. Thirdly, it was a silence of submission. And by this I mean our Savior remained silent out of submission to his Father. It was a silence of innocence. He didn't need to defend himself any longer. His Father would do that. Secondly, of judgment. They refused to hear him for 3 years. He didn't feel obligated to speak anymore. But it was also the silence of submission. And I suggest this is possibly the most obvious of the three reasons. And that is, he was submitting to the will of his Father. You see, our Savior understood that ultimately standing, speaking, he wasn't standing before man, but God. Now, he was innocent of all the accusations leveled against him by man, for sure. But because he was about to bear the sin of the world, there's a sense in which before the tribunal of God, he would be treated as if he were guilty for all of the sins that the Jews falsely accused him of. They accused him of a number of things: of being a liar, of being deceitful, a blasphemer. They They spoke wicked things about him. And they were all untrue. But brethren, they're all true of us. We have done all those things. We've lied. We've been deceitful. We've been blasphemous. And so our Savior never opened his mouth, because he was about to be made sin on our behalf. He was innocent, but guilty. Innocent personally, guilty positionally. Maybe your mind goes back to Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The imagery is of a sheep being sheared who trusts itself to the shepherd. It's a discomforting thing. It could be a scary thing. It could be a difficult thing, but the sheep undergoes it for the sake of the shepherd. Just as a sheep is silent before the shearers, so it says that Christ was silent before the judgment. Spurgeon said, Jesus answered nothing, for he was there as his people's representative. And though he had not sinned, they were guilty of all that was falsely laid to his charge. Mr. Gill, the chief reason of all of his silence was he had the sins of his people to answer for, and the time of his dying for them was now come, and for which he was ready, and therefore would say nothing to remove these false charges and delay his death. Okay, so here's our Savior standing before the tribunal of men. And he's been charged with all of these wicked and heinous crimes. And he never opens his mouth in response. He's silent. The silent Savior. Why? Well, because he was innocent. And one day those very men will stand before him in the judgment and confess he's Lord. Secondly, not only because he was innocent, but because it was a further judgment upon the Jews. He had spoken to them. He had told them. He had talked to them over and over again for 3 years, and they refused to believe him. So at this point, he's done with them. He gives them over to themselves. It's a judicial judgment. But thirdly, and I think more importantly, it was a silence of submission. He never opened his mouth because, though innocent, he was being treated as guilty. It's almost as if he's saying, I'm innocent, but they're not. And because of that, I'm going to, as a sheep before the shearer, I'm going to bear the judgment of my people and satisfy the wrath of God in their place. Mark 15. And verse 1. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? He answered and said to him, It is as you say. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you. But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Well, as the men come forward to administer the bread, Greg is going to lead us in our first hymn.